Patrick. How are you doing today? Out working hard and paying our Social Security, I hope.
All right.
More of the latter than the former, huh?
Getting. I try not to do that.
Kind of contagious, I'll tell you. Well, excuse me. We are headed for Spartanburg, to Costco's and maybe Sam's and Costco's, I think. Have to talk to the War Department about that. But
morning, Patrick.
Hope you're having a good day.
Did you see the sun today?
Right.
Today, Patrick?
I'm up here in Traveler's Rest.
Puts you up north, doesn't it? At least we know we're safe down here.
Today I'm supposed to be down in the Berea area, but I am not going to make it down there today. I've got a dentist appointment this afternoon.
Ain't no fun at all. Well, fortunately, I haven't had anything done lately. Bernice has got one little feeling she's got to get fixed. But, we had the calamity of her eye, and then we come home the other day, and somebody left the freezer open on the refrigerator downstairs, and it was all frosted up, water all over the floor. We got busy, which is very rare. We just don't miss appointments. But they understood. There wasn't a lot of water on the floor, thankfully. But boy, when you do that freezer, you talk about frost up. Man, I never seen anything so frosty.
I hope you didn't lose too much stuff.
We hadn't been gone that long. I can't remember where we went, Aldi's or something, wasn't it, Bernice? But it gets the moisture from the outside air and condenses and really makes a mess. Well, my neighbor is so jealous, he's building a chicken coop.
Nothing's jealous or just in shock of what stuff costs now.
No, really, they're wonderful neighbors. His son-in-law wanted some chickens. So they're getting four chickens up there at Flat Rock from the chicken man. And they'll have a lot of fun with them. And we give them eggs. When we have them, those speckled Sussex, I call them on the far side over there of the pen, they have been molting for months. And they don't lay eggs when they're molting. And the other ones are looking like they might. I picked up six eggs yesterday from them, and maybe the next day you might get three or four, and then you'll get another six or seven eggs. There's eight of them on the side of those black astrolabes, but they by far are the best layers we've ever had, and we've had different varieties. And the eggs are so big at times you can't shut the egg carton, Patrick.
Size egg. And what kind of chicken was that again?
Astrolabe. Come by someday. I'll give you the tour. They're kind of iridescent in the sun, which they're not in the sun a lot over there because they got a lot of shade. But they're a beautiful chicken. They're a big bird, too. They lay a large brown egg. Newer ones we got, it's a little lighter brown egg, but some of them are really dark and some of them are not. But Bernice said this morning, what was you making in that coconut cream pie?
Yeah.
She was making a coconut cream pie for our neighbor's birthday. His mama used to make them for him, and she passed away, so Bernice makes him one every now and then. And he told her, for taking care of the chickens this last time when she was sick, well, it was going to cost her a coconut cream pie. Oh, you ought to see that thing. It's beautiful. But she said the yolk on one of those eggs today was, what, almost as big as the white?
When you break it in half,
it was half of an egg in size, just the yolk.
Big egg. That big omelet by itself.
We get double yolkers, but the chicken man up there, the nice thing is his chickens are 8 weeks old and fully feathered, and he just gets them in so many times a year. Now, when Jim said they was going to pick them up, not very long, they're going to have a bunch, but you can just drive by his house there at Flat Rock and pick them up. But boy, does he have the business now. These eggs costing over $5 a dozen. They say they want to come down a little bit, but that flu only affected 5% of the population of the birds, so they're just using that as an excuse to cover up the real reason, which is inflation.
Make excuses. But, Tom, I have arrived at my next stop, so I'm going to have to say 7-3, so I can try to get as much done today as I can. You and Miss Bernice have a good day and stay safe out there. And good to talk to you this morning. KO4 HKX, and I'll be clear for now. 7-3.
Okay, Patrick. Keep your eyes to the sky. You don't want one of them car-sized things dropping off of one of them Chinese balloons today. I'm really concerned about you out there. And take care. KO4 HKX and 0TR 7-3, Patrick.
4DJC.
Oh, I'm going to turn this radio down. How you doing this morning, Jerry? This is 0TR and Bernice.
It was chilly this morning.
It's 30 degrees. I got an ambulance approaching from the backside of me here. And so it'll probably get noisy. Let me turn that radio clear off. Yeah, this is a tremendously busy intersection, so I hope they acknowledge this guy. The car's running right squarely in front of him when he's right in the middle of the intersection at about 60 miles an hour. Man, oh man, that would have been bad. Oh, well, sometimes when you got the radio playing and as quiet as these automobiles are, it's hard to hear them.
Is. I'm kind of surprised, but, you know, they've got so much quieter, you know, interiors of the car so much quieter now than they were even 15 years ago. It is just difficult to hear them. If you're hard to hear like I am, a little bit of road noise is quiet, and it muffles the sound. It's hard to see. I just have to keep an eye on the lights. That's the biggest thing to do.
Was approaching from behind me, and we had just come through a flagged construction site where only one lane can go, and they had equipment in the other lane. I don't know what he did there. I think they just saw it coming, stopped everything and let him through. But he's still dodging cars up there, it looks like, in front of me. But he's up there about a mile. But I had that happen one time. I picked my sister up from chemo back home in Kansas, and I was coming back on, ironically, Rouse Street, which is my name, and it's a nice, big, wide road, and I come up the intersection of 4th and Rouse, and I started to pull on out, and at the last moment, I saw that fire truck coming. And I did not hear that klaxon. And boy, usually you'll hear that over everything. And you know, I don't know what's going on. Traffic stopping up here, looks like. And at any rate, I called them, told them. I said, you want to tell that operator to ring that klaxon? I said, I didn't pull out in front of him or anything, but it scared me. So he says, I'll talk to the operator. And a little later on in the day, they called me back. It's a small town, you know everybody. So I wasn't trying to offend anybody. And he says, the operator and the driver says they did sound the klaxon.
And I had the radio on and was talking to my sister. But I'm not one of these people that look over to the right and talk to Bernice or something. I keep my eyes straight forward. But if you'll notice, a lot of people, when they're talking, they're turning their head every time they talk. Boy, that's a dangerous habit.
I know one of the things I noticed, I haven't been to Texas in years, but the last time I was out there back in the, I guess in the late 90s, I did some sales calls out there around Austin and all the way to the New Mexico border and, you know, down to Houston and over to Waco. Just, you know, I drove a good bit because of everything there was so far apart. I drove about 1,100 miles in a week, I think. But they had it set up, you know, especially in the more rural parts of the state. You know, they got those wide roads there, and they got a whole another lane on the side there. And one of the interesting things I found is when I got up behind somebody there, drove up behind them, they just pull off over on that apron over there and drive, and just go on past them without having to go around them. And I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know if they do that anymore or not, but I'm sure they got that out there for all the. This is in West Texas where they grow a lot of cotton, and I'm sure it was there for the agricultural equipment. That's pretty handy.
This is N0TR with N2. Dead, burn it, Jerry. Well, messed that one up. This is N0TR. Have you ever been to New Mexico?
And I've been about as close to the line as you can get without going over, but I've never been there. I didn't have anything in New Mexico, and I was kind of on a tight schedule. Probably the closest I was probably the other side of Cuero, Texas, down there, where they had that big flood years ago. When the river rose by like 36 feet or something, wiped everything out, and I was down there not long after that flood one time, and then I went in at least two times, I think, maybe three. And I kind of drove towards New Mexico with the guy I was calling down there, the manufacturing manager. I said, you ought to come over here. I said, come down here sometime during mule deer season. I'll take you on. We'll see if we can get them to draw a tag, and I'll take you on a mule deer here. And of course, I couldn't do that, but I think it might have been maybe 30 miles or so, maybe, from the border. I may be wrong about that, but we went someplace to eat, and let me let this thing drop. Apparently, that part of Texas, everything's so far apart, they don't think anything about driving an hour to go get some barbecue or a steak or something like that. They took me to a barbecue joint, and it's just kind of open air out there. This was in... This was in like maybe April or May, maybe something like that. The weather's really nice down there, and it's kind of an open air type thing. We just had like a shed, supported by timbers, and then had the pits and stuff over there on one side. And it was, I don't know where they enclosed it in the wintertime, not even where they were open. But we drove down there, and it was about an hour drive down, and that's probably. He said we might have been maybe 5 miles or so from the border, but I may be wrong on that time.
Well, I'll tell you that. They sent me out as a field service engineer one time to the Navajo Indian Irrigation Project, Farmington, New Mexico, and you landed on a plateau. And when I went in, I can't remember. I don't want to come out. I was on one of them little Beechcraft passenger planes. When I landed, I thought I was on a Frontier or something like that. But, oh, my. I had to drive about, I don't remember, 80, 90 miles out into the desert. And I don't know how to describe it, but when the good Lord created that's the armpit of the world.
I think when we were out in, I went to visit one of my customers out in, it's actually Littlefield, Texas, which is about 30 miles from Lubbock. And, of course, I went up, I traveled. There weren't many Texan operations out there. There were more than people realized, but they were spread out. There was one in Littlefield, and there was a couple around New Braunfels. Some big operations there I called on, and I went down to one in Littlefield and actually spent the night there one night at a little small motel. And it's so flat out there. Of course, you're accustomed to being from Kansas, but it's so flat out there, there's nothing out there. You can dig and see the street lights 35 miles away in Lubbock from Littlefield. And when the, luckily we missed the dust storms, but they told me when the dust storms came through, said you might as well just give up, so it's going to get in your car and everything else. And that's the reason they didn't have any, the windows were all sealed up and that sort of thing. But I did see, I had to dodge tumbleweeds a few times out there. And I actually interviewed for a job out there about, well, it's been well over, probably 45 years ago now, out in one of the plants out there. And I went out there and came back to my wife. I said, yeah, they offered me a lot of money, but it's not enough money to move out there. N0TR and 4DJC.
TR. Yeah, they sent me to San Angelo one time, and it was similar as to environment as it was there at Farmington. It was just cactus and rattlesnakes, Jerry. And I had to set these, we built the gates for this dam, and, you know, they're huge. And they had huge limit switches on them. They were like, oh, 3 foot long, 2 foot high, and they just were loaded with switchgear in them and stuff. And so I went out there to oversee the setting of those, and it was really neat, but again, you had to drive out there in the middle of the desert to get to it. Lots of, in Farmington, there's lots of Indians, and I don't think that was the case at San Angelo, but that was a horrible place. When I arrived there, there was a med flight landing, and a guy got bit by a rattler. He was the one they always called if there was a rattler between the little finger and the next finger. And I guess he was allergic to the antivenom, and his heart stopped 3 times before getting him to the hospital, but he lived. But that rattlesnake on one of them great big, I guess they were Ford trucks, the big four-door ones, you know. One of them they showed me a picture of, you could hang it over that door handle and his head and his tail almost touched the ground, Jerry. I ain't never seen snakes that big. That was huge.
Killed one big one once years ago, but down in southwest Georgia, but I've seen some big ones. But what I understand, those little ones, the little pygmy rattlers, the Mojave or whatever it is down there, and southwest is a real dangerous snake. They have a lot of venom, evidently, or it's just real dangerous. And they're not very big either. But, I don't mind snakes, but if it's a pit viper or a coral snake or something like that, it's gone. As they say, leave them alone. I said, nope. I'm not going to do that. If there's a poisonous snake anywhere around my yard, I said, it's dead. Leave the rat snakes alone and the king snakes alone and corn snakes, that sort of thing, leave those alone. But those other ones, though, they're just too easy for a kid to wander off down next to something and get bit. Real easy, especially this coming up this time of year when the copperheads have live births. And those copperheads and moccasins, both of them have like a yellow little green tail when they're little. So they use that to attract stuff to eat, I guess. But those copperheads, they can be dangerous to you. It can take long to spend $30,000 in antivenom when you get bit by one, even on the finger of the hand. I'm just real cautious about them, and I usually carry a 22 with some snake shot loaded in it, even when I'm out in the yard now, because I hadn't seen a poison snake here in a long time, but I know there's copperheads right there.
Well, I feel the same way as you do. I leave the good snakes alone, but Bernice, a couple of times out in the garden, spotted some real young ones, and I couldn't make up my mind if they were copperheads or not. I've not dealt with them, but one time I had a friend of mine cut a tree down, and he chopped the head off of this one and brought it to me, and I skinned it. And beautiful hides on them, you know. And that was about it. They said it was up there north of our town, but I never did see them. But the timber rattlers I did. But the biggest one of those I ever shot was 37.5 inches, and I mounted it. But it lasted many years. But I don't like them. They got a Monday morning disposition, let me tell you. You even get close to them and they're ready to bite you. Of course, that's the way they are, but I don't like venomous snakes either, Jerry. Well, Jerry, we're getting over here towards, I think they call it Blackstock Road here, just before you go into Costco's, and just got a few blocks to go. So thanks for riding along. I enjoyed it. Glad you're feeling better. You know, I'm going to try to get outside and do a little stuff today with the chickens and just enjoy the sunshine. I'm showing 59 degrees here, Jerry, in 4DJC and 0GR, 73, Jerry.
Take care of time. You and Bernice have a good day, and maybe catch you a little bit later. I'm going to do the same thing. It warms up. I'm going to get out of the yard, just walk around a little bit, just soak in a little sunshine. Have a good afternoon, and talk to you later, 73N0TR and 4DJC.
G4MUK mobile. 4MUK mobile.
KD, listen. KD, clear.